Hello, ladies. It's really nice to be here tonight. I'm going to tell you your bedtime story, apparently. I see the yawns, and I know everybody's full and tired and ready to go home. But I was excited about being able to come and do this evening. And there's a little bit of a problem with asking an elder to do a talk. She might forget her place. She might not be able to multitask with the great plan she had to do the PowerPoint and build a bouquet and read her notes. So bear with me if I lose my place. But it's really a joy to be here tonight. And we've been singing about the love of God. And I have to tell you, looking around the room and seeing the smiles on people's faces, tears running down the faces of some, it's just a wonderful thing to know the Lord is your Savior and just to have that joy of Him in you. So I'm turning 70 this year, and it's just looking back over my life, I can't believe how fast it went. And the other thing is just how much Jesus has meant to me. So I just want to just begin then and tell you that tonight my illustrations are going to be pictures. Most of them I've taken and used the YouVersion Bible app to put the verses on them, and I hope that it gives you joy to hear and see these promises that God has given to me, and well, to everyone. So I'll see if I can do this. Okay, so this is my personal favorite, the old lady cactus. I thought I'd start with this promise. The righteous shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh, literally fat, and flourishing. I'm growing to be very fond of muumuus. Nothing tight, flat shoes. It must be comfortable. This is, and I like the whole cactus thing. White, round. Still has some life, though. Tonight I want to talk about God's bouquet of promises. This is our little darling Adele. A few years ago, one of our grandchildren, she lives in Manitoba, and she's holding up a basket of dandelions to her mama. And how precious. I just love those little fists of dandelions in the springtime. And they're such a happy little flower brightening up our yards. Oh, you don't agree? I don't know. I've never had a problem with dandelions. This past winter, there were days when it seemed like the season of Mayflowers would never arrive. But God is faithful to His word and to His promises. God says in Genesis 8:22, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. And throughout all of the generations of human history, the seasons have come and gone, just as God said they would." So this evening, I'd like to share a bouquet of God's promises with you that I've gathered from God's word. These are some of His promises that have significantly impacted my life. There's so many. And when I was going through these notes, I went, man, I really forgot some important ones, but this is what it is tonight. That it was challenging to choose the ones to share with you in these next few minutes. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome. Come and hear. I will tell you what He has done for my soul. When I was young, growing up in my preacher daddy's churches, my favorite times were often when he would open the evening or youth fellowship times with the announcement, "This evening we are going to sing your favorite songs and hear your testimonies of what God is doing or has done in your life." And sitting there as a child, praising the Lord with these people gathered around and hearing people's impromptu stories of God's deliverance, love, mercies, and faithfulness in their lives was such a joyful time. This is what I hope to do here this evening. First, I'd like to talk about God's promise of salvation. And I have to find a special flower for this one. Ask Linda to find me a rose. I don't know if I can. Here we go. This is the centerpiece of the bouquet tonight. John 3:16, I know it's familiar to many of you, became familiar to me from a very young age. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. As a very young child, I trusted in Jesus as my Savior. My mama was the one that explained to my little heart that no one can go to heaven without believing in Jesus. None of us can be good enough because God says that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. We're all sinners. We have to repent, tell God we're sorry for our selfish, sinful ways and hearts, believe that Jesus took the punishment for our sins upon the cross, that his blood cleanses our hearts from all sin, and that he was buried and rose again the third day just like he said he would. Only by receiving him as my Savior would I go to heaven and not to hell, and so I did. And he is my Lord and Savior still. Elise, where did Elise go? Do you think you could help me with these flowers? Because this is not going to work well. I'm going to bump this or something. Would you mind putting them in the vase when I just pick whatever? Okay. Okay, so I'll just tell you when the next one is. So promises are only as good as the one who makes them. As lovers, parents, friends, we make promises we have every intention of keeping, but unfortunately, often in our humanity, we fail. God is not like us. He's forever faithful to his promises. When I trusted in Jesus as my Savior, there were other promises that instantly became mine to claim from the Father. Okay? Romans 12:1. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 1 verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name. Ephesians 1 3, in Christ you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Colossians 1 14, in whom Jesus, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Upon my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior, I immediately had a brand new ID. At 3 years old, I was now the child of the Heavenly Father, saved, forgiven, redeemed, sealed, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, forever His. My earthly journey began in Dallas, Texas. Please don't boo. I know the whole U.S. thing. My earthly journey began in Dallas, Texas on August 21st, 1955, as the daughter of Albert and Lila Clock. In January of 1958, my heavenly journey began as Alice Clock, daughter of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, forever his by his amazing love and grace. My journey had just begun. Next, I'd like to talk about the promise of his words. Like young Timothy in the epistles of Paul, I was taught the scriptures from a young age. My parents spoke of Jesus often, and they lived and loved God, his word, and his truths. I was encouraged to daily meditate upon God's word and to memorize it. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Psalm 119, verse 11. Your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. God's word keeps me from sin. God's word is powerful, transforming, convicting, life-giving, life-changing. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's word shows me how to live and the way to live. Next, I'd like to talk about the promise of prayer. Another foundational truth that was taught and example to me as a child was God's promise to hear and answer our prayers. As a child, our little circle of children at the Wednesday night prayer meeting prayed earnestly for Peter. He was part of our group. His kidneys were failing. Years of troublesome treatments, pain, transplants came to pass. Peter grew up, went to Bible school, married, and became a missionary in South America for many years. Our little group prayed earnestly for an elderly lady who was losing her eyesight, and God preserved her eyesight for the longest time. Yes, I learned to pray anytime about anything, anywhere. Last year, I made up this little chorus with some little tune to teach this truth to our grandkids out in BC, whose parents are going through a divorce, which has been a very sad, challenging time. But these little ones know Jesus. And as I taught them their club, when I went out to visit them in their spring break, I said, let's learn this little chorus. I can talk to God anytime. I can talk to God anywhere. I can talk to God about anything. He always hears and answers prayer. It's that little ditty. It still goes through my head, and you know what? Those kids will sing it to me on FaceTime now. I just love that when they're at school or at their mom's house or at their dad's house, wherever they are, the little hearts that are torn through this whole process, they know this. And you know what? This is the most precious foundational truth to me. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says, let us come boldly, therefore, to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Come boldly. Do you know what? I have to tell you, this might make you think I'm completely loopy, but, you know, I don't have much to lose. I have this visual in my head of myself just running through the halls of heaven and coming to the throne doors, and the cherubim are standing there. They see me coming. They throw the doors open. She's been here before. And I run into the throne room, and Jesus says, she's ours, Father. She's blood-bought with my precious blood. She's one of our children. And the Father stops everything going on. He goes, what can I do for you, my child? Come boldly. Come anytime. Jesus has made the way. Psalm 119, verse 147. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I hope in your words. You do not know how often I have risen before dawn and just cried out to God. How often I have done exactly that. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Call unto me. I missed one, didn't I? That was the one for I rise before dawn. I love the morning glory there. And I hope in your words. Call to me, and I like the raindrops on the rose. Call to me, and I will answer you, thank you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. How amazing the answers God has given to my earnest pleas for help. Now this one is two verses, one right after the other. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. These verses have truly impacted my prayer life. Prayer is interactive. Prayer is a laying down of my anxieties and fears. It takes action on my part. God says, don't be anxious about anything. I am to put it down at the foot of the cross. Prayer is a laying down of the anxieties and fears. Prayer is me praising the Lord because he's my Father, coming to him and pleading with him, supplicating on behalf of my darlings and my friends and others, and choosing trust instead of fear. I started this little mantra when Grace Clark and I would have coffee together. I said, I choose trust because I must. Like, if I don't choose trust, that means that God is not trustworthy, and that's absolutely not true. So therefore, my foundation is God and God alone. So I choose trust because I must. Instead of giving fear, I give thanks in the waiting and am listening. We know that we have heard of him when his peace rules in our hearts and keeps our minds. Next, I'd like to look at the promise of forgiveness. Those of us who have been blessed to grow up in Christian, God-fearing, Christ-honoring homes often experience a defining moment in our lives where our faith in Jesus is tested, and we come out the other side stronger and with a faith in Jesus that is truly and uniquely our own. By the time I was 30 years old, I had finished Bible college, married a godly man, had three beautiful children, was expecting our fourth. My health wasn't great. I had begun having seizures when I was 19, and they continued sporadically. This pregnancy was a painful one because of my poor health. I lived from one exhausted day to the next, loving my darlings, but my resources were running thin. In my exhausted state, my mental and emotional health began to crumble. I began to question whether God truly was good, or even if everything I had ever taught was true. Beware of the enemy's lies to your spirit when you are run down, too busy, or distracted by life, especially the ones that sound like this: has God said? Are you sure God really means that? A little bit won't hurt. As in, a tiny bit of sin won't really matter. Sound familiar? It's the same lies as he told in the Garden of Eden. So don't fall for it. The enemy loves to sneak in like a lion, crouched, ready to pounce, to devour us when we are weak, troubled, distracted, or afraid. For a time, I floundered and lost my bearings. I was miserable, angry, hurting, depressed, full of anxiety and fear. I excused my rotten attitudes and actions, my sin and disobedience. Then, through God's marvelous love, mercy, and grace, he brought me to the end of myself. I repented of my sinful, rebellious heart and actions, and his peace flooded my soul. I returned to the God of my youth, my Savior, and my one true love with all of my heart. Maybe some of you might not have even known all of that was going on. But it was, and I knew it, and God knew it. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." How precious to be forgiven and to be restored. I love this verse in Revelation 3:20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me." This verse is given to believers. I know we often use it when we're talking to people about opening their hearts up to Jesus. But for believers, when John was writing to the churches, he was writing to believers. And what happens is that when we harden our hearts against the moving of the Holy Spirit, when we're intentionally disobedient, we slam the door shut. I don't want to listen to you right now. I don't want you here. But Jesus, oh, he's patient. He's loving. He's a gentleman. He stands at the door and he knocks. How sweet it is to open the door you've slammed shut in the Savior's face and have him come in. How precious is that fellowship. My daughter Grace and I started memorizing Psalm 103. Not a little while ago, a few years ago. I'm embarrassed because it doesn't stick. But anyhow, these two verses are very precious. Psalm 103, verses 11 and 12 says, "As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." East and west never meet. Other people might remember your shortcomings, your failures, your sins. I'm sure they will. They'll tell you, even if you've tried to forget. But God does not. He has forgiven. Part of the problem of my resentful, bitter, angry heart was the root of bitterness I savored. God challenged my heart with verses like, "And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." There's no me first in the Christian walk, and if there is, it eventually leads to disobedience. As I forgave others for Jesus' name's sake, God released my spirit from the bitterness and anger. Forgiveness is more about our relationship and obedience to God than with the person we are struggling to forgive. As Jack Carell used to always say, the heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. Another thing I just want to mention, if you cannot forgive yourself, it is actually a lack of faith that God has forgiven you. You don't feel worth it, but he says you're worth it. He sent his son because he says, I want you to be mine. And God says, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. You received him by faith. You could not do anything to get saved. You cannot do anything to keep yourself saved. It is all by faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
The promise of security. One of the ripple effects of sin and disobedience is insecurity. When we walk away from the Lord, our relationship with him is fractured, and we no longer have security in our relationship with him. We begin to feel lost and question our salvation. This is just a byproduct of moving away from God. When we repent and turn from sin, he restores our soul, and once more we can enjoy intimacy with Jesus. We open that door. He comes in. We have fellowship, and oh, sweet it is. God hasn't changed. We have. God's promises to his own are true. He gives us victory over sin through Christ's cleansing power and blood. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. Can you just smell those roses, those wild roses? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And how sweet the victory is in Jesus. How precious is the scent and the savor of that. How wonderful to experience victory over sin. And then I love Psalm 23, verse 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's so wonderful to be restored. If you've walked away from God tonight, please don't wait. It's so beautiful to walk with him. How sweet to have the Savior restore your soul and lead you as a tender shepherd again. We have one more flower. You can use it for this one. I have a bunch more, but we ran out of flowers. John 10, verses 28 and 29 says, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. You think of how hard you hang on to your darlings. You are his darlings. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. These verses have been lifelong favorites of my heart. I have to mention Romans 8. I certainly can't read it all tonight, but if you go home tonight, please just listen to Romans 8. The whole chapter is full of the beauty of belonging to God. Thank you, Elise. I couldn't have done that. And it closes with these wonderful words of promise. Nothing can separate us from the love of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want everybody to say that word. Nothing. Nothing. Then there's the promises in times of trouble. John 14, verse 27. Hyacinths smell really beautiful too. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus promised that we would have troubles in this world, but to be of good cheer, because he has overcome the world. He promised to not only give us his peace, but also to be our peace. He is called the Prince of Peace in Isaiah. Life here will never be trouble-free or without heartaches. They will come and go our whole lives long. These are some of the promises I have gathered and held close to my heart. There are so many more. Oh, I forgot another thing. When you ask an old lady to give a devotion, she might cry. I just might in this next section. When my father died of a heart attack in his sleep when I was 36 years old, and then just 4 years ago, this past week, when my sweet mama died, this promise has been a keeper. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And another one, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Just no argument there. You're gone, you're there. As Billy Graham says, when I die, I'll be more alive than I've ever been before. When we left to do missions work, and I was seizuring frequently, it was verses such as these that held me together. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. You know, God gave this promise to Moses when he was about to take a rebellious bunch of people through a desert. How is God going to give him rest when he's in leadership? Often God is our rest in the most difficult times and the difficult places, and I found him to be such a wonderful rest to me, and he still is. When I've had no strength of my own to do what God has wanted me to do, like this tonight, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is his strength standing up here, not my own. And he's done this over and over and over again. When I was lonely in a strange place, overwhelmed, and cried out to God, he had prepared a friend and prayer partner for me. Such an amazing story. Crying, going to get my kids at school, driving, I just had a certain amount of alone time. And I was crying out to God, the tears running down my faces. I got to the school, dried my face, got out of the car, walked up to the door. There's this lady walking out with one of our girls and her daughter, I assumed. She walks up to me, holds her arms open, says, hi, my name is Faith. I've been praying for you. The waterworks started all over again. This verse, before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. I visited her last month. And she goes, you don't know how hard it was to do that. She goes, I didn't know you. Just such a heart of obedience. She just loves Jesus so much. I cannot tell you how many times God has done exactly that. When we did not know where we would live with our family or if we would have money to feed our family and pay the bills, verses like this, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He has so faithfully taken care of us and our children. We are blessed above and beyond what we could ever have dreamed of. This one, when a seizure took me down into a deep, dark abyss, I came out gasping in fear. I cried out to the Lord, if I must do this journey, Lord, I am willing, but I cannot do it without your presence. From that moment on, whenever I have seizured, there's been years of them, as I've come back to consciousness, there has been a hymn, there has been a song from him that has carried me out of the darkness into the light. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night, his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I have no words to describe the wonder of this gift from my Father to me. And it still goes on. When our grandson as a preschooler was diagnosed with leukemia, it truly was more than my heart could bear. And promises like these carried us through those dreadful years. Psalm 46, verses 1 through 2 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's here in the now. At this moment, he is present. I don't know what you're going through, but if you belong to him, he is present in the now. Although I have to confess to times of abject fear in the waiting at times, watching that little boy suffer, God was faithful. I love this little bee hiding in this tulip in the rain. This was down at Bellevue Park. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That verse is full of promises. Each one of our four children have experienced traumatic times, and there have been near-to-death experiences in their lives. I learned to fast and pray and battle for my children. I prayed and still do pray the prayer of the Father in the Gospels, who cried out to Jesus, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I've prayed this continuously and earnestly and have rejoiced in God's answers and deliverance. Often I have struggled with my lack of wisdom and have taken comfort in this promise. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, without scolding, and it will be given him. Like, Father, how do I pray? I don't even know what to do with this situation. I need your wisdom. I think I might be close to wearing this promise out. Then I'm going to close with these promises that are yet to come. Time is running short here tonight, and there are so many, many promises I have not mentioned. Lo, I am with you always, Jesus said. Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you. Peace I leave with you. Do not be afraid. Wait on the Lord, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Faithful is he who calls you, who also will do it. That was my verse for this evening. I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Do you know that Jesus does not want to give you eternal life alone? He wants to give you abundant life here with him right now. Are you living abundantly? You can, no matter what the scenario of your life looks like. You can have abundant life with Christ as you're bound up with him in the land of the living. So many bouquets from the Father throughout my lifetime. And there are more to come. I would need a field. This is just a small illustration of the sweetness of walking with the Lord and of his faithfulness to me. Every day I cling to his promises. If you have received Jesus as your Savior, these promises are for you. And it starts with the centerpiece, this beautiful rose, this relationship rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. This last promise I want to talk about is the promise Jesus gave to all of us who belong to him. Our hope is to be with him. He is coming again. I am believing. I am waiting. I am watching with thanksgiving. Are you? He is my joy. I pray to bring him joy. It's the desire of my heart every day to bring him joy. The Bible closes with these words. This is a promise from Jesus. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He who testifies these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. As Candy comes to close our evening in prayer, I wonder if you know this chorus, if you'd sing John 3:16 with me. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son to die on Calvary's tree, from sin to set me free. Someday he's coming back. What glory that will be. Wonderful is love to me. Thank you.
Thank you, Alice, for such a heartfelt message. God is good all the time. Thank you. Very inspiring. Let us pray. Dear gracious and loving Heavenly Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you for this awesome privilege and pleasure of gathering together here in your presence, for fellowshipping with friends and family around our tables, for hearing music and singing hymns and praises for your glory, for enjoying the beautiful meal, delicious meal, prepared by the loving hands and served by the people here at Grand Gardens. And thank you for hearing your promises tonight from Alice and the beautiful bouquet of flowers that they represent. Thank you for hearing your truth and your promises. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. As we leave here tonight, together, and go our separate ways, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. From the Prince of Peace, in Jesus' name, amen.